The Skagway Assembly appoints a familiar face to a vacant seat, and a Haines Elementary School teacher aims to get a book made by her class published. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories up next. Skagway Assemblyman Spencer Morgan only had to sit out two meetings before being welcomed back to the Assembly to fill an empty seat. Assemblyman Dan Henry turned in his letter of resignation in October, leaving one of the six chairs vacant. Morgan, who in October ran an unsuccessful write-in campaign to retain his seat, was chosen as Henry's replacement. Mayor Mark Schaefer initially nominated someone else to the vacant seat. He said he had Tim Borsi in mind ever since he first realized Henry might resign.
When we got notified of Dan's issue, the first phone call went to our lawyer. And very shortly after that, I contacted somebody I thought would serve. And I would like to see Tim Borsi appointed to this table.
Assemblyman Henry was convicted of failing to timely file federal income taxes. After that news broke, the mayor and assembly did not dismiss Henry. They said there was nothing in code mandating his departure. The question of whether Henry would resign lasted for months after he signed a plea deal, was sentenced to a year in prison, and was investigated by the Alaska Public Offices Commission. Some Skagway residents called on Henry to step down in time for his seat to go to a public vote on the October 4th municipal election ballot, but that didn't happen. In mid-October, just a couple weeks before he was mandated to report to prison, Henry turned in his letter of resignation. So, who would fill his seat? There were two candidates for assembly who lost their election bids in October, David Brenna and Spencer Morgan. Brenna was on the ballot, but Morgan squeaked in at the last minute as a write-in candidate. Brenna garnered 181 votes, coming in third place after Orion Hansen and incumbent Tim Cochran. There were 124 write-in votes, which did not meet a significant enough threshold to be tallied by name. Morgan was finishing his first three-year term on the Assembly. Now he'll get to serve another year. Although Schaefer nominated Borsi for the seat, the four Assembly members present chose to go in a different direction. Assemblyman Tim Cochran said he'd like to see Borsi continue his work as chair of the Port Commission. He couldn't do that as an Assembly member.
I think Tim is valuable in the Port Commission as chair, I would like to see that go on, especially in this during this time frame of going forward.
Cochran said he'd rather appoint Morgan. Newly elected Assemblyman Orion Hansen agreed.
I would say from having served with Spencer on planning and zoning, I've seen him say no to his friends and yes to his enemies, or people he may not his enemies, but I think, you know, in terms of someone who interprets the best for the community, I think his, you know, I may not always agree with what he says, but I always know why he says it, and I really value that.
Here's Morgan's response.
Yeah, I would be willing to step in and serve. That being said, I also think that Tim would be a great option. I know when this first came up, that was one of the people that I thought could also step right in. So, but I do appreciate the fact that you guys feel confident in my abilities at the table.
Hansen, Cochran, Jay Burnham, and Steve Burnham Jr. unanimously voted to appoint Morgan. He may take his seat at the next meeting, which was rescheduled from November 17th to November 10th. Since Morgan was appointed rather than elected, he will serve 1 year and his seat will be up for a vote in the next municipal election. There was no mention of David Brenna, the other assembly candidate who lost his bid in early October. Much of the rest of the meeting was taken up with discussions about expenses the city continues to pay for permitting on the stalled Gateway project. The assembly hit the brakes on the port improvement project after voters rejected a tidelands lease between the borough and White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad. But as Schaefer explains, they decided to allow engineering firm KPFF to continue with the permitting process.
We basically stopped the design work being done, but continued on with the permit, knowing that we wanted to get to at least be prepared for a cleanup.
Right.
And that's where the value of it still lies.
A cleanup of contamination in the ore basin is a key part of the Gateway project. But the impasse caused by the lease rejection left contamination cleanup in limbo. Regardless, the municipality wants permits in place if and when there is a path forward to start the mitigation. But the assembly and mayor voiced annoyance with how long the permitting is taking, saying it's not following the predicted timeline. Here's Cochran.
I think we're all frustrated by the, you know, the how much time it's taking. But
the hope is that a newly elected port consultant will be able to unstick Skagway from the port stalemate. A steering committee is working to define the scope of work for the port consultant. A part of that may be restarting waterfront negotiations with White Pass. At the past two assembly meetings, White Pass representatives have said they are ready to talk as soon as possible. The first challenge was co-authoring a book with a class of first graders and kindergartners. Now, one Haines teacher is trying to get that book professionally published. KHNS's Abby Collins spoke to elementary school teacher Sophia Armstrong about the literary feat.
One of my students from last year said, "I remember making that. My fingers hurt. I was coloring so much."
Last year, Sophia Armstrong was challenged to teach her first grade class about Tlingit civil rights activist Elizabeth Paratovich, who lived in the early 1900s.
She got the Alaska civil rights law passed. She helped get it passed 20 years before it did in the nation. And so that's really impressive. And she was a woman. And things were a little less progressive up here just because it was a newer place to be. And she's just an incredible woman.
But when Armstrong started looking for children's books to help teach her class about Paratovich, she couldn't find any.
There's only a page about her in this whole book about civil rights, or there's a page about her in this book about Native Alaskan leaders or something. There's just not anything that I could share with first graders.
So she decided to fill that gap.
I thought, well, we are writers. We can write this. And so I got all this boring adult information, and I would read a couple sentences to my students and say, "Okay, now repeat back to me what I said. Tell me, what do you remember?" And they were trying so hard to piece it back together for me. And then we wrote some sentences, and they're very simple, but it's a children's book.
Then they grouped the information about her into different categories.
Into her early life and her teen years and college, and then after that and being married, and then the kinds of discrimination that she felt, and then what she chose to do to solve that.
Creating the book was a collaborative process, and Armstrong says she distributed the tasks amongst the students.
So this person's really good at drawing people. Okay, you're going to draw Elizabeth on this page. And this person's really good at drawing houses. You're going to draw houses on this page. And lots of my kids, I'd say, okay, draw a couple totem poles, and we'll throw those in places where the pictures don't quite match up right.
She says the students were really proud of what they were able to create, even though it wasn't easy.
It took so much work, and they saw how much work it took, coming up with just each sentence that had to sound good, and then grouping all the sentences, and then coming up with the pictures, and I am really tough on art in first grade.
Armstrong says she didn't let mistakes slide. Instead, she redirected the students so they could make the best product possible.
Nope, that's not good enough. Go back, do it again. Nope, that person needs feet. That person needs ears. Go back and do it again. So there was a lot of sending them back to the drawing board to improve.
Last month, the school librarian had copies printed for local use. But Armstrong says she wants to get it published for real.
Hopefully it will be published, and then it will be sold, and it would be great if whatever money that came from that, if that did happen, could turn into a scholarship.
And she hopes it could become a resource for more teachers looking for a way to tell the story of an important Alaskan leader. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
The book is available for loan at the public library and to download as an ebook through iTunes. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website, khns.org.